What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia, points north, south, east, and west. Brian and I holding it down out in Ashburn, VA, as the Commanders look to turn things around with a Week 2 matchup coming against the New York Football Giants.
Yeah.
Good morning, B. How you
what
doing?
What up, bro? I'm chilling, man. How you doing?
Doing well, man. Doing well.
Got to work out something lively today.
Uh-oh, that's just what we need is a lively B match.
Oh, yeah.
That's always dangerous.
Yep.
It's going to be a, I don't know, it's going to be a fun day. We get to hear from the coordinators. Speaking of a lively person, I think you could qualify Commanders defensive coordinator Joe Witt as a fairly lively guy.
Joe is SL, super lively.
Super lively.
Yes.
He gets fired up quick. And I imagine he's pretty pissed off about how things went in Tampa. Don't you?
Because he expects people to play a certain way. And for the output to be a certain way, and if they don't get it, you know, like he always says, if y'all listen to us, and you know, if we want to play fast, we want to take the ball. They didn't take the ball, didn't play fast. So yes, and if he's upset, he should be, you know. And I think guys have to understand that, you know, coaches go through this. We hear about the practicing and things like that. You know how many hours they put in to come up with a game plan. And then they put you through all the rigors of this game, and you showed them something in practice, and then when the game come, you didn't carry it over. That has to really piss them off.
Yeah, I bet. We are going to be streaming on the YouTube page in just moments. My guy Biagi, I talked to this morning, and Biagi's like, how do I watch on YouTube? I think it's fairly simple. It's YouTube.
YouTube, Biagi, and then you go to YouTube /1067.
Yeah, /1067.
It's not that bad. Not that hard.
And we're there. I'm gonna email him the link directly so that he has it.
So you just click on it?
Yeah, we're going to try to make it easy. Good morning, everybody in the chat. We appreciate everybody. Good morning to the boys in the aquarium. Jeffrey Lamphill, how do you do?
I'm good, man. How are you?
We're good, man. We're all chilling. We're ready to rock today. We also got football tonight and a good Thursday night game, I think.
Yeah.
Bills Dolphins. We're going to get into that a little bit later. I'm excited to watch that joint. I have I'm going to go help out at a charity event this evening, but I'm hoping, you know me, B, when my portion of the event ends.
I think you're trying to leave before that.
Nah, I'm really excited. It's an old friend of mine that asked me to be a part of this. We're going to raise some money to help. I mean, you and I were talking about it walking in here. We were at this golf tournament earlier this week to support veterans. Mm-hmm. I believe they raised around $400,000 to support veterans. You know, the event we did earlier, I guess the end of August out at Avenue.
Almost 600,000.
Probably 600K by now.
So is this friend old as in like a longtime friend or just he's an old dude?
No, we've known each other since high school.
Okay, I'm just checking.
Yeah.
You say, I want to make sure because you call yourself old at 43, so I don't know.
I know. This 43 thing I got to get used to. No, I mean like someone I've known a long time that's okay. A really good person. And B, like you always want to help your friends, whatever, no big deal. But you're raising money for kids fighting cancer. Like,
it's kind of hard to say no to that.
Right.
But some of the friends need to realize football season. Sunday, Monday, Thursday, and later in the season, some Saturdays.
Yeah, we're going to be all
right. You have to know when to ask.
It's over at Columbia Country Club, so you know they got heavy pours over there. So I might have to stick to beer or wine or something.
Yeah. I know, like, I get, like, people call me, hey, can you do this? I say, listen. Think about the time you're asking me to do this. Oh, I forgot you was on the radio. But, you know, we still – I say, if I have to take off of work, you're probably going to have to pay me something.
Yeah, the amount of asks we get while we're on the air. Like, oh, hey, can you do 11:30 on Wednesday?
Yeah,
like,
suppose I call you and ask you, can you do it?
Sure, I can't.
Will you? Yeah. No.
Now, I do want to gauge, B, just your level of excitement, I think, is the appropriate way. There's a big development this weekend. For the Commanders, they're going to wear gold pants.
Okay.
So I'm gauging your level of excitement.
I could care less what we wear. You know, I don't get caught up in the what we wear. And I just care about how we produce, how we play. And I'm not one that believes that you put on a certain uniform and you turn into a damn Superman or somebody else.
You don't?
No. I believe when you go out there and play, you play.
Here all this time, I thought you believed if you put on a damn uniform, you might turn into Superman.
Nah. I just think that. If you're not that person before you put on the uniform, you're not that person. So ultimately,
look good, It look good, feel good, feel good, play good.
Yeah, but you know what? You look good when you prepare well. You know what I'm saying? You feel good when you prepare exceptionally.
Sure.
And you go out there and you perform, then guess what? No matter what uniform is on, you're good with it. But I think we get caught up in that a little bit that, oh, the uniform, I don't care what uniform they're wearing. I want them to win. And you win by producing, not wearing a color.
You're going to have to play a lot better than you did in Tampa, particularly defensively. I was talking to, I don't want to say because we were just kind of chatting, an offensive player yesterday in the locker room after practice and just kind of talking about how frustrated. Now, the defensive performance was bad. Offensively, it was just a little uneven, right?
Yeah,
like,
totally.
If a couple things break differently, basically what the player explained to me was if what was my man's name? York. If Cade York makes the two field goals he missed, they score on 5 of their 8 possessions.
Yeah.
That offensive efficiency, like from a drive chart, would place you top 10 in the league.
Probably. We look at end result. The coaches look at what could have been. One person missed here, one person missed there, and they understand they could be closer than what we would think. We look at the numbers and we go, oh, man, they got destroyed. But they're looking at ball bounce one way or the other in this play or that play. We are right there. You know what I mean? And that's why a lot of times you hear coaches talking, some people think it's coach speak, but it's not coach speak. They're looking at the exact play that one bounce here or there, and boom, the game is different.
Well, dude, I got to ask Luke yesterday about not letting it go on the throwback. And I think he didn't say this. Like, he was like, yeah, you know, I looked, and it just didn't seem like it was there. But now that I've watched it again.
Yeah, when I saw the
film, he's a little nervous, dude.
You can see this.
First ever game.
When he catches it to throw it, there are a lot of people in between him and Jaden.
Sure.
So, like, a quarterback sees color and say, oops, shy away. We get a chance to expand the picture and see, oh, if he just throws it over the top, Jaden is free. But that's not – you don't have that moment as a guy making a play. You got split second. We get to look and dissect and all that. So I can understand why he took it away, but he went right up the field. He didn't sit there and mess around and lose yards. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, but it's a lot of little things that go into it, and I know coaches and players look at. And that's why sometimes after a game when you hear players saying certain things, we can't understand why. But they are looking at it more meticulous than we are.
Well, dude, I think if you look at offensively, they were close to a pretty damn good performance against a defense that is known for being super aggressive and pretty darn good with some real players on different levels. Mm-hmm. Now, they sustained I haven't even looked at who Tampa's playing this week and who's going to be healthy for them. But, like, Bryce Hall ain't playing this week. Mm-hmm. I can tell you that just from what we saw on the field.
Yeah.
Offensively, now some of this was kind of garbage time. They're down 3 scores late in the fourth quarter. But, like, they finished with the same amount of first downs as Tampa despite not being able to convert on third down, right? Like, they didn't run the ball great, but they finished with, like, 135 rush yards. Now, that's driven largely by 90 from Jaden.
Yeah.
But I think from a efficiency standpoint, they're not far away. I think you're going to see Jaden run less. I think there'll be fewer scrambles because there'll be fewer blitzes.
He'll run less, but I think what's going to happen this week, the fact that he ran last week, they have to pay attention to it this week.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if he runs 4 times next week, I mean this week, and he ends up with 40, 50 yards, you still have to respect the yards per.
Yeah.
So it can balance out for you, but I just think that they have to have a little time to get this thing together. I said it throughout training camp. I said it when we got the preseason. That we look at the Patriots over the years, the Patriots seem to take the first 3 to 4 weeks when they had Tom as preseason. And all of a sudden, they would hit this little roll, and then nobody could stop them. When I look at this football team, and I look at the way that the league and every team does it now, you have to say that the first 3 to 4 weeks is basically preseason still. Because, as you stated, Jaden played basically, what, 3 quarters? That wasn't the whole game.
3 drives, dude.
Yeah, 3 drives.
Okay? In the preseason, you're saying?
So when you look at that, drives. When you look at that, Was that enough for you to know what he could do during the season?
No, but if you – again, I'm just trying to get to the scoring efficiency. How often do they have the ball? Are they roughly putting points on the board?
Yeah.
You think about the three preseason drives where they had a scoring opportunity on all of them. They scored a touchdown on one. They kicked a field goal on one. They missed a field goal on one.
Yeah.
And then now in real action where he's playing a full game, the possession chart, now they had a three and out on the first play because he – threw the ball backwards 15 yards because he was nervous. It was his first game, right? Like I could chalk that one up. You have a missed field goal touchdown, then the end of the half, then another missed field goal. Like if you just convert those two, and I don't know that you're converting the 56 yarder, frankly.
Well, it's possible. He had the distance.
There are people that do it routinely.
He had the distance.
But I mentioned these to you. I don't know if I said this on air, so I wanted to be sure I said this. Zach Selby does a really good job. He covers the Commanders for the Commanders, right? But he, some numbers he pointed out yesterday, and I'm reading, if you want to follow him, it's at Zach Selby, WC, at Z-A-C-H. No matter what the Commanders' offense and Jaden Daniels see against the Giants this week, there should certainly be less pressure. The Bucs blitzed on 42% of their defensive snaps, third most in week one. The Giants were 24th with a blitz rate of 19.2%. The Giants... it's going to look like what Washington did for 4 years under Jack. They now have Lawrence, Thibodeau, and they just traded for Burns. Like, they're going to count on their front to
get
be able to get home.
Yeah,
I think this is a huge test for the offensive line that I thought performed fairly well in Tampa. I think it's going to be a huge test, frankly, for the tackles. Because Lawrence is going to do Lawrence stuff.
Lawrence is going to do Lawrence stuff inside, but I think Burns and also Thibodeau, those guys are pass rushers. They're not run stoppers. So you might have to let be sitting in their lap a little bit. You know, put the tackles and the guards in their lap and make them have to play more of a physical game.
Sure.
Because I've always felt this. Pass rushers, DNs, well, how you want to describe them, those guys are more athletic than the tackles, no matter how you put it. Other than Trent Williams. He might be more athletic than some of the guys.
Like, think about Montez Sweat.
Yeah,
that level
if
of
you are a guy who's starting here, who's concerned, you're backing up against a guy that's more athletic than you, you're backing up. He's going to probably have something to get past you if you do it consistently. But every once in a while, hit him in his chest. He doesn't want to do that. We talk about it all the time. The best way to stop a pass rush is to make him become a run stopper. And if they can establish the run on those guys, because, like, we know the two guys inside, you know, with Lawrence, them, they're going to be stout. But where's our strength? In the inside on his offensive line. So you got to bring stout with stout and see what you could do with that. But I think if you put the big guys on the big guys running the ball, you got an advantage on the edges.
You know, I got to talk to Logan Paulson and the tight ends coach, David Rye, before the Dolphins preseason game. And they were kind of explaining from a tight end perspective that when they are run blocking, they basically a tackle or a tight end and a D end or a pass rusher, they basically want to deploy the same technique depending if it's a run or a pass play.
Mm-hmm.
What the edge rusher is trying to do to the tackle or the tight end in a pass play when they're trying to get to the quarterback is what the tackle and the tight end needs to be doing on a run play. It's about getting inside and driving you back.
You back, and then what happens, you cause a problem for that linebacker.
Exactly.
Or you just slide off.
Right.
Like a little chip. The thing about blocking, everyone looks for someone to be pancaked, knocked on their butt, whatever. All it takes is a nudge. You know, I returned some kick returns where the guys weren't even touched. It's just my guy was standing between he and I. You know what I mean? And if you do that, you should be able to get past it. You don't have to knock them on their butt every time.
Right.
And I think too many young guys, they come off so hard, I got to knock him down. No. Just occupy him. Because the running back, the tight end, the receiver should be good enough to give him a move and give space and not go down with an arm tackle.
And the time required is a second.
Less than that.
Yeah.
Like it's a microsecond.
Right.
You know, like,
So getting a lot here's what we're going to do. We got a packed show today. We're going to really try to figure out what the Giants are, maybe what they aren't. Bob Glauber has covered the NFL for a long time, was president of Pro Football Writers. Bob's awesome. He will join us next. At high noon, Bob Papa, Giants radio play-by-play will join us. 1:30, Peter Rosenberg will join us. We will open the phones up today for Bleep You Thursday, 1 o'clock. Quick story, though, last night. A lot of people being very kind in the stream chat, saying they watched the show, my new show last night on NBC, and I really appreciate that. You can watch it now on YouTube if you want. But I want to call out this dude. It was my birthday, right? So they gave me some cupcakes. We did some birthday bits. It was great. My guy, though, Marcus Edelin says, happy belated birthday, JP. They said your ears get bigger when you get older. You are in trouble. So appreciate that support.
Well, you're going to look like an elephant here soon.
I know. You'll like this, though. So the show gets over at 9. There's a Capitol Grill in Friendship Heights that is, like, on my way home from NBC, right?
I've been living here a long time, Jay.
Sure. Right. And in my head, I was like, all right, I haven't really eaten because I got to be in studio at like 7. And, you know, my kids were eating chicken nuggets. It wasn't really what I was looking for my birthday dinner. So my plan all day was I'm going to pick up a steak on the way home and just have a late night steak, sit there by myself, and go to bed. And I was very happy with that plan. I was very pleased with this plan. Do you know what time Capitol Grill closes?
About 9:30, 10 o'clock.
9. I called it like 9:06, and they're like, sorry, we're closed. I'm like, closed?
Yeah, I mean,
9 o'clock at night.
I don't think they really want to make as much money as they could.
Clearly, not last night anyway.
Well, most nights they've been like that for a long time.
I mean, I thought for sure,
but like a lot of places closed so early, and I'm like, what the like? At the hotel we were at in Tampa, come back, we're watching the game. The lobby is full. People are coming in at 10 and 8 people per group. They closed right at 11. I said, dude, do you all not look at the clientele walking in? Oh, man, it's time to close. I said, you don't close at 11, 12. I know that because that's what y'all said last call was 11, 12. Like it's 11, not even 11:30 yet.
11.12?
Yeah, it was 11, 12. And, colon. It was 11, 12. 11, they were saying, all right, and they by 11:30, they had closed down everything. So they didn't.
The game went to overtime.
Yes, but these people walked in like 10 people, and I'm like, dude, y'all just lost a lot of money.
I'm telling you, everything changed.
Some people
although
crazy.
In Florida, I feel like they didn't act like COVID existed, so I can't speak to that. But I feel like so many of these businesses and everything just changed so dramatically that like, I don't know that we're some of this ever goes
Camp
back.
Camp Grill was like that before.
Were they?
Yeah.
All right.
They always closed early.
Well, we'll see. Is that Morton still open in Bethesda? I know the Ruth Chris closed.
I couldn't tell you if Morton's is open.
We might find out tonight. It's my damn birthday. I'm going to get a steak one way or another, man.
Wegmans right there. Got nice meat. You can take it home and cook it yourself.
So I thought about doing that because I could have gone by Wegmans, but I didn't feel like grilling at like 9:15. You know what I mean? I just wanted it. I want some nice cooked food, some nice clean drawers. That's all I want. It's a Jay-Z lyric. My birthday is not the only thing that happened in September. It's also the start of football. But more importantly, it's Responsible Gaming Education Month. If you decide to get in on the action this season, the American Gaming Association wants to remind listeners to have a game plan when it comes to betting. A solid game plan includes betting with legal sports books only, knowing the odds, keeping it fun, and sticking to a budget. Please go to haveagameplan.org to learn more. Brought to you by 106.7 The Fan's proud responsible gaming partner, the American Gaming Association. B. Mitch Finley, 106.7 The Fan, fired up to get to the BetQL guest line. Talk to our friend, Mr. Bob Glauber. Bob, what's going on, man? How are you?
Hey, guy. Hey, I'm good. JP, how you doing?
What's up, Mitch? Bob? What's happening, man?
B. Mitch, how are you?
I'm good. Good. I'm good, brother.
Bob, somebody with your resume, everything you've done and accomplished as an NFL writer, how much stock can you take from week one in the National Football League?
You know, it's funny. Week one is always tough to react to because, you know, the overreactions are just, you know, all over the map, right? Baker Mayfield's a Hall of Famer and Daniel Jones is, a free agent who is never going to play again, right? And it's just so it's tough. But you know, I think you got to use a little bit of discretion. It usually takes about a month to kind of get a real handle on things. And it's not like I think the first 2 weeks I have found is really tough to gauge. I remember one year Sam Weich was coaching the Bucks and he had him 2-0. He said, "Oh, I guess it's going to be okay now." And then it's terrible. So it's tough, but you got to go by what you see, and what you saw in some instances was pretty disturbing, and I think you start with the Giants on that one.
When you look at the way that they approach preseason and all, does that make it even harder to look at the first 2 weeks and think you're seeing something?
Totally. Because, B-Mitch, when you played, you know, you're playing so much of the preseason, and, you know, it's kind of a good build-up to, you know, physically get ready for a football season. When you don't play, you know, most of the starters play very little, some none. And it's really tough to just come out of the blocks, play a full football game after a preseason, no matter how much, you know, no matter whether you're in good shape or not, you're never in good football shape when you don't play. And it really makes it tough. And I found it interesting that Bill Belichick a couple of years ago when he's coaching the Patriots, he find that he struggles with what to see in his team or around the league in a month. It takes him a month. I'm like, wow, you know, this is the smartest coach in football, and even he can't figure it out. So I think you got to let it, you know, let the dust settle a little bit. It's a league that, you know, with games just once a week, you analyze and think you got it solved, and you don't. And that's why this league is so great, because it's unpredictable. And, you know, reality 1 week can be fantasy the next and can be catastrophe the week after that.
Absolutely. You mentioned the Giants there. You know, there's talent on that roster, D-line, certain spots, but I don't know how good they are, but I don't know that it matters with, like, where is Daniel Jones mentally right now? It's got to be pretty rough on that kid.
Yeah, I think it is pretty rough on him. And, you know, he's really struggled for most of his career. You know, the first game that he played was against Tampa Bay. It was week 3 of 2019, and he had a great game. He brought the team back. It was in Tampa Bay. I think he won the game on a rushing touchdown, and it was like there was euphoria around that guy and that team. And it really hasn't been the same since. His first year, he had 24 touchdowns and 12 interceptions, and he just hasn't come close in the years after that. And I think when doubt creeps in, it gets into your psyche as a quarterback. He can say whatever he wants, and he talked yesterday about how, you know, he's dealt with criticism before, and all he cares about is the guys inside the locker room. You can say that all you want. But, you know, when you put on a performance like that in week 1 on the celebration of the 100-year anniversary of your football franchise in front of the greats of the Giants over a century, and you play like you did, it's got to get inside your head. And when the fans boo you off the field in the first half of the first game of the regular season, you know, it certainly doesn't help. So yeah. I think, yeah, it's tough.
You know, I look at it and I think, like everyone always say, your quarterback is your most important position. And I believe they need to be the most mentally tough. And a lot of times, what we talk about is a lot of quarterbacks are not as mentally tough as we would want them to be. So if that affects him, then that's a problem in my book.
Yeah. And listen, I think, you know, Daniel has shown toughness, both physically and mentally, because he's been criticized a lot over the course of his career. He's not been a winning quarterback, except when he plays your team. But
I guess that's why Thibodeau says not a rivalry.
It's like, guys, I looked up the stats. I did a little prep work for our meeting here.
Appreciate it.
5-1-5. He's 5-1-1 versus Washington, and he's 17-36 against the rest of the league, including 1-7 versus Philly. 5-1-1. Washington has cured a lot of the ails of a lot of what ails the Giants, and then against them, he's got 10 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Not bad. That's pretty good. And against the rest of the league, it's 52 touchdowns and 39 interceptions. So there's something about, I don't know what it is, but he does well. So that's why, you know, you got to at least leave open the possibility that, you know, he goes into FedEx Field, oh, I've been good here before, you know, maybe I can be good again. But he has shown toughness, and I think he is mentally tough, but I don't care how mentally tough you are when you put results up like that, like last week. You just, I mean, it's got to get inside your head at some level. You know, that pick six he had deep in his own territory, And I think it's the perfect play to, like, describe Daniel Jones right now. And I don't mean to, you know, jump on the guy, but, like, okay, the defender obviously sees that it's going to be a swing pass deep in his own territory. He is rushing in, and he knows the play. So as a quarterback, you know, you've got to be able to see that, say, hey, this is not here. This is not, I got to just tuck it in, take the sack, try to run, or just look off this play. But he didn't, and he had another interception that he just threw into coverage. And so it's those plays that he has demonstrated year after year that don't get better. And at some point, you've got to say, well, it's not there. And when you're a football team and the reporters ask the coach in week two, are you going to stick with your quarterback? Man, you got some issues.
Oh, yeah.
Bob, while we got you, man, I'm guessing you've watched some or all of the Commanders' first game against the Bucs by now. What do you think of Jaden Daniels? He had some really impressive moments in that first game.
Yeah, I like Jaden Daniels a lot. I think he's got the it factor. You just can't quantify that, can't define it. You see it and it's there. And I think Washington can be fortunate to have a guy like that. Now he's a guy, I think he will listen, it's not gonna be perfect and it's not perfect, but I think he's got what it takes mentally to kind of overcome the early rookie stuff. And you know, the players like him. He's got pizzazz. He's got charisma, and he's got ability. And I think the sky's the limit. So I think they're in good shape with him. You know, Baker looked like, you know, he's going to Canton. So I don't know what to make of that. But yeah. I like what I've seen so far out of Jaden Daniels.
Well, looking at both of the defenses, Washington and also the Giants defense gets tied up with their front. Didn't look very good against the Vikings, and vice versa. Washington didn't look good. Where is the Giants defense, though?
You know, you talked about talent, and it's correct along the defensive line. You know, starting with Dexter Lawrence, he's a beast in the middle, and you got to account for him usually with two guys. But I just don't know. And, you know, Bobby Okereke is a really good physical, active linebacker who is, you know, that's the kind of guy you love to have on your team. So, but, you know, I think the secondary is suspect, you know, and I think you can't make a living on pressure. There isn't too much pressure in this defense, but you also, if you don't have a defensive line that is deep enough, you can't get a four-man rush consistently enough to throw the quarterback off his spot. So when Sam Darnold kind of picks you apart at will on the road in week one, I don't know. That's not good.
Yeah. Well, dude, I'll be honest. I'm, you know, it was being reported fairly widely that Brian Burns was on the market, and I clearly a super gifted athlete, and it seems like that's what Joe Shane, the Giants GM, is into, is that he just looks for the athletic traits and testing. But I couldn't help notice with Burns, I mean, as much as there's good, consistent play, he only had the 1 year of double-digit sacks. He's never popped through. Like I think sometimes we get caught up in, like, oh, he's a stud edge rusher. Like, the stud edge rushers are T.J. Watt and Myles Garrett and the Bosas and Khalil Mack. Like, there's a tier that he has never touched. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And I didn't even mention Burns and Thibodeau, right? Why? Because they were kind of really quiet. I mean, Thibodeau right. can disappear. Now, Thibodeau has moments, and you know, he'll get that double digit sack production. But I think he's a little bit streaky. But that's pass rusher sometimes, and that happens. Sure. And Burns can be the same way. They have invested a lot in Burns as well as Thibodeau. I mean, he was a top five pick. So. But they got to produce, and when you get
Bob, I looked this one up with specifically Thibodeau. So he's just starting his third season, right? But he's started 32 games. He has 15 and a half sacks in 32 games. Mm-hmm. 5.5 of them are against Washington. 35% of his production.
As I look through this little production sheet, a lot of the Giants stuff is against Washington.
It's crazy. So Bob, we got a boogeyman. Okay. Thank you very much for the time, dude.
Appreciate you, Bob.
You got it, guys. Good talking. All right, take man. Care.
Yeah, as I look through this, they have a small amount of stuff, and a third of it is against
it's
Washington.
It's crazy, dude.
Yeah.
Bob Glauber is just a tremendous football journalist. You can give him a follow at Bob Glauber, Glauber. Bob is among the absolute best when it comes to writing about football, just like Paul Henry is among the absolute best if you need to get home improvement work done on your home. What Paul does best, the headline here, doors and windows, baby. He has changed my house. I got all new doors, all new windows. House stays nice and warm in the winter, stays nice and cool in the summer. And what's great this time of year, you know when you have old creaky-ass windows, mm-hmm. and when the weather's beautiful like it is in September and October, you want to open it up, let the cool air in at night. Mm-hmm. You got them old creaky windows. You know how hard it is just to
open them.
Yo, you can't open them. And then, like, the thing falls off, and there's, like, you can hear that noise it's making. Like, yo, this is not going to work. It's not like that with Paul. It is so easy to open and close the windows, and it changes your home. If you call him this month, $100 off windows with a 5-window minimum and $500 off doors.
Most places that you deal with, you can't believe what they say. You can't take their word for it. You can take your word with Paul, and that's what I like about working with him. JP told you about the windows and the doors and things that he does, but I like the fact that when he comes in and tells you something, you can take it to the bank. If he tells you something's going to cost a certain price, that's what it's going to cost. It's not going to be like most people where they come in and they tell you a certain price, and then all of a sudden it starts creeping up every time you see them again. And if you don't have to pay the top dollar, he's not going to try to sell you that. He'll tell you can cut some dollars right here by doing this. You don't have to do this for this room or that room. A lot of people don't give you that advice. They tell you to try to buy the most expensive thing. Paul doesn't do that. If you want to get some doors from Paul, and I know he's going to treat you right, you go to him right now. He'll get you $100 off each window with a 5-window minimum and $500 off each door. So contact Paul Henry's Window Installation today and tell him B. Mitch and Finley sent you. PaulHenry'sWindows.com. Your clear home improvement choice.
Kind of hit the
per
spot.
Per ounce of, in this one, that's 9 grams of protein.
Especially, I clearly didn't have dinner last night, so that, Laura made me a piece of avocado toast this morning.
This is the only steak you're getting.
I'm a healthy fool right now. No shout out to the IRS. I guess you got to start paying those guys soon. Sons of guns. Week one, B. Bob Glauber said you got to really try not to make too much of it. What do you think would be the biggest overreaction from a week one result?
I think what would be the biggest overreaction? If a team go out and lose, people automatically assume that they're absolutely terrible. If a team goes out and wins, they think they're great. And I think the worst would be when a team wins a game against a bad team going away, people automatically assume that that's how great their team is. And
are you talking directly about the Saints and the Panthers?
I'm kind of talking about them. And then when you start to sit there, and let's be real, we all hear every player, every coach state, we don't listen to the media, we don't read it.
They all listen.
They don't want to listen to it when it's negative. But when it's positive, they take every damn thing that they say, and maybe, just maybe. And the human nature is, you hear people talking great about you, you start to believe it. And that means that you just don't push yourself as hard.
Right.
And then you go into the next game, and you get smacked. You know, so don't overthink. When you win a game, don't automatically think. We've seen it here. We win a game, we win two. Oh, we go to two. Last year we won two in a row. How many did we win after that?
Two more.
Two of the next 15.
Yeah.
Okay. So you cannot think you're as good as the initial game, especially against a bad opponent, make you feel.
Sure. I think the most fraudulent result I saw, you tell me. New England beat Cincinnati week one. I still don't think New England is a playoff team. I still do think Cincinnati is a playoff team.
I don't think New England is a playoff team, but the whole thing about it is, the thing about the NFL is opportunities, and you got to take advantage of the opportunities. If Joe Burrow come out there looking like a damn corpse and looking like somebody that's a minor part of himself, and his receivers aren't ready because they haven't been in camp, and things of that nature – you got another one hurt. If they and then the guy that was running the football for you is in Houston running for 150 yards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it looks like that, you take full advantage of it because it's hard to
good
get them
for New England. Good for New England to go on the road in that scenario.
But also,
right?
It is just, I think it's, we looked at Joe over the years. Joe gets hurt a lot.
Yeah.
Okay? They had a running game last year. Don't necessarily have that this year. You got a receiver who wasn't in camp, and we go back and look over the years. When people aren't in camp for a long time, what normally starts happening with those positions? They start having these little injuries pop up. So what if New England does not, I mean, the Bengals don't end up being as good as we think they are?
We'll see.
They can't just, because.
I'm just telling you, from my week one, I think the biggest overreaction is folks going to, like, imagine what all the Boston people are saying right now. Ramondre Stevenson was really good in that game, 25 carries for 120 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Burrow had fewer passing yards than Jaden did, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Ja'Marr Chase did play. T. Higgins didn't play in that game. If I had to say what makes me, what I would be nervous about if I was the Bengals, though, I mean, that rush defense is terrible, dude.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just, Joe Burrow has garnered the respect to say, well, he can be better. But he also has garnered the mindset that he may not make it throughout the whole season. And if Joe doesn't make it through the whole season, that team is not going to be as good as they could possibly be.
Shout out to Jawan Bentley. DeMatha kid, DC kid, was at the Touchdown Club dinner last year being honored. He had 12 tackles in that game and a half a sack. Kid's all over the field, man.
You know, linebacker dude?
Yeah.
That's a little thick one.
He looked like London.
Yeah, it's just like.
Just built that same way.
London, we said thick. We didn't say nothing else.
You
just
said
so
that.
You hear it.
How do you react to Atlanta dropping the first one? Nothing looked great there. Kirk was 16 of 26 for a 150. Had a touchdown pass, but also had two picks.
He's cautious. You know, the thing about he's cautious that he had two picks. Think about that. So, just
he's
like
coming back from the Achilles,
just like I said about Aaron Rodgers. See, everyone was like, "Oh, Aaron's throwing the football." If you watch Aaron Rodgers, he doesn't have to step to throw the ball. But that looks good when you don't have anybody covering your guys or rushing you. And in the game the other day, he looked good when he had no pressure and he could throw the ball. He throws it off his back foot. He throws with both feet in the air, sidearm, whatever. He has great arm talent. But in the NFL game, you have to drive sometimes. He didn't push off one time. Kirk kind of seems just like Aaron Rodgers. And let's be real. Aaron's arm is stronger than Kirk's already. If Kirk loses a little velocity, he has a major problem. And on top of that, he's a cautious guy. So being cautious and losing velocity won't be good. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes.
We mentioned Kayvon Thibodeau a little earlier. He's been very good against Washington, not very good against the rest of the NFL. He decided to talk a whole bunch of S about the Commanders. You'll hear it next.